I wanted to add something to what has just been raised by my co-rapporteur regarding the possible acceptance of our competence as a committee to review individual communications.
Bien, decía que
I'll start again, says the Speaker. I wanted to add something to the question, adding to the follow-up questions from Matar, on the possible acceptance by your country of the committee's competence to be apprised of individual communications. Because both in your answer to the list of issues, namely para 4, and today when you were asked a direct question, mention has been made of the fact that Morocco will review this. You said when objective conditions are met. That's in the list of issues answers. Today you said we will do that when the necessary conditions are met. I'd very much like to know what necessary conditions we're talking about, which will enable you to recognize the competence of the committee. In addition to that, you said in your answers that Article 23 of your constitution already criminalizes enforced disappearances, and that the sentence, the penalty for crimes of humanity cover, crimes against humanity cover that, and that you've criminalized human trafficking, for instance. But I would like to answer in the have an answer from you. Article 23 of your constitution, is it directly applicable in criminal proceedings? So, with a constitutional provision, are you able to punish somebody just with that? The other question I wanted to ask is the following. How far have you criminalized enforced disappearances as a standalone crime, as well as being a possible crime against humanity? Because your answer seems to indicate that since you look at enforced disappearance as part and parcel of crimes against humanity, you feel that you have complied with this. But these are two separate different legal figures we're talking about. I'd also like a clarification on the statute of limitations issue. The first round of questions, you may remember I asked a question there. Do you have a sort of time limit for this, for those cases of enforced disappearance? The state answered in its list, replies to the list of issues, that there is no statute of limitations for those crimes that are deemed not to be bound by the statute of limitations. But today, you said that the statute of limitations, if it exists, starts as of when you determine the situation of the disappeared person. And you use this term abduction, which is applicable to those offenses. In other words, 5 years, if I understand correctly. I would really appreciate clarification on that. And thank you for the information on the start of the investigations regarding the incident in Melilla. There were other events that I referred to that you didn't refer back to. But what have you done in terms of search? And also, what have been the actual outcomes of these inquiry and investigations and search efforts that you've deployed? What's been the result? In other words, have you been able to find the perpetrators? Have you been able to locate the virtually 70 individuals who disappeared? Because given the information we've got, that has not yet happened. I also wanted to ask for clarification on how domestically your authorities decide whether it is a case of enforced disappearance or not. And let me just clarify things. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings in the room, things that might get lost in translation. I wasn't just referring to enforced disappearance in Morocco. What I mentioned was, it's actually the information you said, the state said, you have not had enforced disappearances in Morocco. We've actually recorded urgent actions in our committee. So my question is, how do you, in your country, decide whether it's an enforced disappearance or not? I mean, how do you decide whether it's unlawful detention? How do you decide whether it's abduction, kidnapping, or enforced disappearance? But we have, I know that there are more than 2,000 cases on the basis of illegal detention and abduction in your country. Now, how do we know in our committee that amongst those over 2,000 abductions and unlawful detentions that you don't have an enforced disappearance within that, given the fact that you state there are no enforced disappearances in the country? I would also appreciate clarification. It was to do with one of the last speakers, the statistics on the number of identity, the proof, DNA on the remains of people here, and the Director General of Security mentioned this on the DNA testing. And let me just stress this, and I will then shut up, because I know I've spoken a lot, but it's very important that I address this point. And it's taking what my colleague, Madame Villa-Quintana, said. What happens with extradition on the basis of enforced disappearance, when you're talking about requests coming from other states? So what do you do with extradition proceedings that I call active extradition proceedings? If you don't have the crime of enforced disappearance, and one of the rules to grant extradition is that it is criminalized both in the applicant country as in the granting country. So it's very important that those conditions are met, and we need that clear. I've got, I think, two and a half minutes left, Chair, so I will leave that for later. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Alban. And that is perfect, because I know that Carmen Villa-Quintana, you've got...